Seems like whatever I had, I say past tense, is still ravaging my speaking. So excuse me and take a lot of drinks this evening. Tonight we are going to consider the topic of battling sinful anger. Battling sinful anger. It'll be a little different from a sermon, perhaps. Maybe you could think of it as us sitting across the table, either at your house or in our office, thinking about how can I be victorious in my attitude and my actions and fighting sinful anger. If you're like me, sinful anger is something that you have experienced in your life. The problem is, a lot of times, we don't necessarily want to own all that the Bible deems sinful anger, and maybe we are blinded to some of those realities. But sinful anger, and I say it that way because there is anger that does honor God in Ephesians 4, we're told to be angry. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Be angry and do not sin. And in that particular setting, I'm more convinced now that what Paul is saying is anger towards your own sin. Passionate anger towards your own sin, and don't let the sun go down on that anger. Battle that with all of your life. I think that's the type of righteous anger that we can experience, at least one of the ways in this world. But tonight I want to deal with sinful anger. And so I want to take us through a process really that I have been working through in my own heart over the years, just as time has gone on and God in His kindness has revealed more and more of my own selfishness to me and the ways in which I display that selfishness in my anger and just have continued to try to battle that so I might be pleasing to my Savior. And so I want to take you through that process. It comes from a lot of different things, not only things that I've learned from my own heart, but Rick Thomas speaks into this situation. Dr. Street speaks into this issue. My time with Pastor Moses and Pastor Doug speaks into this issue. Many conversations that I've had with many of you, I've learned these things, and so I just want to present them to you this evening. So, if you are going to be successful in battling sinful anger to the glory of God, first of all, you need to humbly embrace everything that God says is sinful anger in His sight. You have to humbly embrace what it is that God calls sin. The Bible has much to say about this issue. Just do a Google search in Proverbs of what it has to say about sinful anger, and there will be much for you there. In the New Testament, there's passages that speak to the spectrum of sinful anger. Like Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, refers to the deeds of the flesh. They are evident: immorality, impurity, sensuality. Verse 19, verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. Ephesians 4 is another wonderful place, but Colossians 3 as well. We've talked about this, considered this passage in detail in the past, but Just a reminder, Verse 8, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Those are all forms of anger. And I would encourage you to look afresh at Eric Thomas's graphic, his anger spectrum graphic. Things from disappointment to the eye rolling to frustration. I'm so frustrated right now. Sinful anger. Complaining is a display of your sinful anger and a sin in its own right, according to other passages. And even those things just inside your own heart that the words are not expressing. Do you say, how do you know that? Well, Matthew chapter 5 gives us some insight into that, where Jesus is preaching that amazing Sermon on the Mount. And one of the points that he's making at this point in Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 and following, is what he's going to say in verse 48 is, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He says in verse 20, for I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Everybody would have thought scribes and Pharisees at this point, they didn't have that negative connotation that Jesus would begin to rebuke them all throughout his ministry. At this point, they would have been the ones that the world would have looked at and said, oh, they're definitely in. And in public, they would have acted in a righteous manner. And Jesus says, your righteousness has to surpass that if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he gets to the heart of the issue. He says, it's not just about outward physical murder. It's about your heart. It's not just about outward physical sexual immorality. It's about your heart. And he deals with those things in the following verses. We'll just consider the anger issue. And he says, in verse 21, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. Notice the escalation there. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Now, just my point here is that phrase, you good for nothing, that the NASB translates. There is no word in the English language to translate from this Greek term. It really has the idea of the muffled, mumbling, saying something under your breath to or about your brother or sister, for that matter. The idea is, what's going on in here? It's not only what you do on the outside, but what you think, what goes on in your heart. And until you embrace what the Bible deems as sinful anger in the eyes of God, you really can't grow in your battle against it. It's that idea, until you humbly take responsibility for your sin, you really can't move further on it. And really, until you see your sinful anger as a massive issue, because it's something that is before our holy and almighty God. We can make excuses. Again, you could go back to the book Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges and the way he helps highlight that there's so many respectable type of sins that we have within the church. And this would definitely be one of those. Our frustration and our complaint. But the issue is, it's not really what we do in front of other people, though it is sin against other people. But more than anything, it's before God. And that reality has to grip our hearts. that we do not want there to be sin before God. It's like when Joseph is being tempted by Potiphar's wife and he says, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" He wasn't first and foremost concerned with the fact that he would probably be killed right on the spot if he did do something like that. His first thought was, "How could I do that against God?" That's the type of mindset we want to have. And so we need to humbly embrace everything that God says is sinful anger in His sight. And if it's something that's a pattern for you, if it's something that you constantly go to, I'm not saying that you never deal with it rightly, but something that it just seems like it's coming back, go to the Word of God and let it speak to you on this issue. What does the Bible say? Especially, again, the Proverbs. You could just Google it and tons of verses will come up that gives you some great insight and wisdom. So, humbly embrace what the Bible says is sinful anger. Number two, if you can, in the heat of the moment, consider what you deserve and don't deserve. In other words, try to get yourself, train yourself to, once you see what's going on, you know, you and your spouse are talking and all of a sudden it turns into a little bit more than just a fun conversation, and you get intense and you start to say either unkind things or think unkind thoughts, and your tone starts to raise, and try striving to train yourself to consider, once you see what you're doing, what it is you deserve and don't deserve. First, what is it that you deserve? What is it that you deserve? Well, according to Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 through 18 tells us that there's no one righteous, no one who does good, not even one. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of our sin is death. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6, when Paul is writing to these Christians, telling them to battle their sexual immorality and their anger there in 3, 5 through 9 or so, he says in verse 6, "For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience." Ephesians 2 says that before Christ, we were children of wrath. In other words, what we deserve because of our sin is eternal wrath from our Almighty God. I was listening to Tom Pennington preach a sermon on Romans 14 and dealing with the issue of hell. And the image that it gives there is a physical and mental tormenting for all eternity. And it's as if the smoke, the sulfur smell of burning bodies is constantly rising up to the nostrils of God. Again, imagery there. For all eternity. And that's what you and I deserve. At any moment, at all moments, God's wrath for all eternity. So that's what you deserve. What is it that you don't deserve? Well, you don't deserve your spouse. You don't deserve your kids. You don't deserve your car. You don't deserve a raise. Now, I'm not saying working hard, you shouldn't make more money. What I'm saying is it's all a grace gift from God for us to have any of those things. Again, if we deserve hell, anything that's not hell is a grace gift from God. You don't deserve people who drive like you. You don't deserve to be entertained. You don't deserve rest. And we certainly don't deserve God's forgiveness. We certainly don't deserve eternal hope and salvation. We don't deserve the Spirit of God working within us. We don't deserve to have the Word of God constantly at our fingertips, able to open up and hear from our great God and Savior. In the moment of anger and the selfishness that leads up to that anger, we forget about the undeserved privilege of our salvation. We're just focused on temporal things. And in reality, we're simply just focused upon ourselves. Even if it is the other person that has provoked it and stirred whatever it is inside of us, it's still us. And so sometimes just to help cool you off for a moment is to, when you notice what's going on, maybe it's like, okay, I'm going to step outside for a minute because right now, all I'm thinking about is the wrong thing. I just need to go figure out what it is I deserve before God and what I don't deserve. And then I want to come back in here and honor God in the way that I treat you. Or maybe it's just something that's going on just with you and you have the opportunity just to talk with God right there in that moment. But we want to have before us that undeserved privilege of our salvation at all times. Another step then would be, if you consider what you deserve and don't deserve, then consider it what it is that you want so badly in that moment. So don't just stop there. Okay, now I know I deserve hell, so I just need to calm down. No, go further, because if you're going to battle sinful anger, the issue is not first and foremost that anger. That is sin, and that is an issue. But there's something that has led up to that outburst or that action. And it's selfishness in one way or another. And so then you want to consider what it is that you wanted so badly in that moment. That thing that you wanted so bad that you were willing to sin to get it. Really, I'm speaking about the issue of entitlement. We live entitled lives in one sense. Part of that is, well, we live in an amazing country in the sense of all that we have and all that what God has given to us. Certainly, we're watching things deteriorate and less and less. I mean, just more wickedness than ever before, right, in our country. But we just have whatever we want. If you want it, you go get it. Most of the time. Some are better at handling their money. But there really isn't a time in our lives where we're really lacking for sure what we need and mostly what we want. And we have just formed an entitlement in our hearts and our lives. Maybe it is you just want your wife to see things your way. Or vice versa. Man, if he would just open his eyes, he could see foolishness that's going on right now. Maybe it is that you just want your children to obey you. Your boss to make better decisions. I mean, the Broncos to win, for crying out loud. I mean, we spent so much money on our quarterback this year. Government to not be so foolish. I mean, forget about the climate. What about grocery bags back in Walmart again? I mean, come on. But we just have this sense of entitlement. And we've got to break that. Because God has so graciously given us so much that we do not deserve. And so we want to pinpoint What is that thing that I think I should get right now? Or so regularly that I keep getting angry over it? Again, it might not be an outburst of anger. It might just be a cold shoulder for the rest of the day. Well, what is it that you want that is blinding you to reality? Reality before God that says you're living in a state of grace. And then this reality, number four, would be consider the sovereign providence of God. Go further. Okay, humbly embrace what it is that you're doing is sin. Consider what you deserve and don't deserve. Consider what it is that you want so badly that you're willing to sin to get it. And then consider the sovereign providence of God. And by the way, thinking about what it is that I want so often now, you know, as I've just really worked on this over the years by the kindness of God, there's so many times I can go back to like a month beforehand where a selfish pattern began to creep in until all of a sudden it just shows up over here. But consider the sovereign providence of God. And I think about this in two ways. One, is remember that God has brought this circumstance into your life. He's given you the wife that you have. He's given you the husband that you have. He's given you the kids that you have. He's given you the job that you have. He's given you the circumstances that you face. Either the primary or the secondary cause, but either way, God is always the primary, but it may come through a secondary cause, but it always goes back to God. Always. He's orchestrating all things to culminate to his perfect end, to give him the most glory. And so every little thing that we experience in our lives fits within that perfect providence of God. And so, thinking about the providence of God, God has brought about the circumstances in your life. Are you being thankful or grateful for whatever it is? Thankfulness, gratitude is a surefire. I mean, it's like a fire extinguisher to a fire. It just snuffs out the flame. If you're thankful, you cannot be sinfully angry. Those two cannot be sitting together. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, in everything, give thanks. Command, not optional, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. No, he doesn't tell us what he's going to do for us tomorrow. At least some of the physical things that we'll experience the next day. We do know that tomorrow, if he gives us tomorrow, it's for our good and that he's making us more like Christ. We do know those things. But no, we don't know where we're going to work next year or what's, you know, who we might marry or whatever it is. We might have plans, but we don't know God's plan tomorrow. But what we do know in regard to his will is that he wants us to be thankful in whatever circumstance we face. And so, think of the sovereign providence of God in that way. So you have that. That's really a great way. It's almost like you're holding the fire extinguisher before the flame. And as the flame starts to go, you put it out right away because you're like, man, God, you've brought this into my life. I don't deserve anything but hell. And you've given me the circumstance for the opportunity to worship you. And right now I have this desire, you know, to put a hole in the wall, but I don't want to do that because that would dishonor you. And I certainly don't want to say anything that would be unkind to those around me. Help me to worship you. And so because I know you've put this in my life and you want me to be thankful. But then the flip side of that, maybe you've already just demonstrated your anger. Maybe you've already blown up. Maybe you've gone down that road again, and for the third time in the day or the fourth time in the day, you just are having one of those days. What about the sovereign providence of God in that? Well, for me, I've started to thank the Lord, not for the sinful act, because sin is not good, but God can use it for good. And so I've started to thank God that there was some sort of showing of my sin, so that I wasn't living in some blind sin further along. Obviously, I wasn't seeing my selfishness, at least, you know, not noticing the signs early on. But I don't want there to be selfishness just flowing through my life. I don't want there to be undealt with sin. And so in the kind providence of God, it surfaced. And now I'm able to say, okay, it's not just the anger. That was wrong. And man, that stinks, because I really, really didn't want to treat my little girl like that. I should have never blown up at her like that. But that's not the main issue. It's one of them. I've got to deal with that with her now. But the main issue is I sinned against God, and there's something that got me to that point. So if you're constantly angry, I'm just going to say you're a selfish person. That there's no way around it. And so in the sovereign providence of God, when I consider that, I'm saying, God, thank you so much that in your kind providence, you used my daughter's disobedience, my wife's wise remark, that idiot driver, whatever it is, to spark in what was already inside of my heart. It's like a match. It's ready for the flame. It's already there. We just need something to strike against it, and then we'll see what's going on inside of us. And we get that really like from James chapter 4. You guys know that passage. We've talked about that a lot, not just from me, others. We murder people in our hearts because we don't get what we want. And so, I have started to thank the Lord in His kind providence that that has shown up so that I could deal with my selfishness and keep battling it on this side. That's my goal. So it doesn't get over here to where I've blown up or been unkind. By the way, I haven't mastered this, I would say, striving. A fifth step, and this is essential. Confess your anger as soon as you recognize it. God knows our heart. It's not just about saying words. We know that. It's not, don't just say it just to relieve the moment or anything like that. But in a real, genuine sense, once you recognize your anger, begin that process of confessing it to God first, and then to those whom you've sinned against. Now, from what I understand from Scripture, unless I've displayed what's going on inside of my heart to others, and not unless it's something that is a continual nature and I just have not been able to handle it, I don't go and ask people for forgiveness if I didn't sin against them outwardly. Or sometimes I'll just ask with my wife or my kids, hey, did you think I was angry in that moment? Because I saw what was going on. And I want to know, was my actions like that? Was that demonstrable of my sin? But if it's just something that comes in my heart and it's like, oh man, okay, Lord, please forgive me, then I deal with it before God. I've not offended the other person because I didn't do anything to them. Does that make sense? So maybe you can deal with that. Maybe some people have other perspectives on that. But from my understanding of Scripture, again, I would say unless it's just a constant pattern in that one person and you continue to have that anger in them and they don't know it ever, then you might want to deal with that and bring it out into the open so that you can just clear the air. But I don't think you're obligated if you didn't sin against them, if that makes sense. But all sin is sin against God, whether it's in the heart or outward. And so I would say, you need to deal with that. And so confess it right away. And then, as you start seeing those selfish patterns, confess those selfish things too. Hopefully what you're seeing is it does take time. There's real heart work. And I will say this, that if you decide to just get after it, it's going to get harder and it's going to show up a little bit more for a little while. And by God's grace, sometimes it's not because it's necessarily happening more, it's just you're seeing it more because you're walking even closer to the Lord. Light exposes darkness in our hearts, and so the more that we just saturate ourselves with the light, the more that we look at the light and grow closer to it, then the more we see the darkness inside of us. But to those whom you've sinned against, if it's an issue that you think, man, I just really have not gotten a hold of this, man, you need to bring it into the light with another faithful believer. Confess your sin in that way to one another. Not to use him like a priest in a Catholic setting. And, you know, you got to take care of your sin before, you know, him, and he goes before God before for you. That's not what I'm talking about, but for aid, for help. I mean, whatever the sin might be, right? Lust, selfishness, whatever it is, you know, you want help. You want help. So James 5:16, I think, speaks into that a little bit. Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, Luke 17 are all places to go that, hey, if you've sinned against someone, deal with it and embrace it. Don't, oh man, well, you know, you, because you just would not listen to me, I got angry. Because you just wouldn't hear me and what I was trying to say. That's why I acted like that. No, it's just embrace it fully yourself. You sinned. Your wife cannot make you sin. Your husband cannot make you sin. You have the choice to deal, to do what God has called you to do in whatever circumstance He's given to you. And you have that ability because you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. You have the power to honor God. So when you decide to get angry, you decide to get angry. But just know, it's not something that just happened in that moment. It's something that sparked what was already inside of you. And so confess it as soon as you recognize it. Be quick to do that. And it may happen 10 times in a day, 20 times in a day. Yes, the goal is not for that to be the pattern of your life, but to start, you have to just deal with it all the time. And I think a lot of times sometimes we're just blind to it. Sometimes we're just prideful. It's like, we don't want to really say it. We just want to hold on to that for a moment. We're not ready to deal with it yet. Because we just got pride going on and we don't want to admit. Sometimes I have that pride because, like, maybe I've already asked my child or my wife for forgiveness for like 7 times that day, and I'm like, I don't want to say this again. I already have done this too many times. You know, I don't know if you experience these things, but I do, and I'm just like, was that really up against her? I mean, was it just before you, oh God? And we have this thing like, It's way worse if we've got to go talk to somebody as opposed to us actually dealing with a holy God. It's amazing. It's the fear of man. That's what happens there too. Pride, fear of man, all those things. So confess it. Be honest. Be open. Get after your heart. Don't let sin sit there. And then finally, and this is one of the best ways to get out in front of it, if you will, pray regularly for God's help in that specific area. And I would say anger, but if you're angry, you're selfish. And so, those things. God, help me. You know, regular prayer. Daily. Hourly. Set an alarm clock if you need to. Have somebody call you. Hey, you want to shoot me a text at noon on Thursdays? Just ask me how I've been doing in regard to my praying for battling sinful anger, my selfishness. But regular prayer, and by the way, that goes in there with the whole in everything give thanks. If you're giving thanks to God, that's an actual thing that you're doing. That's prayer. And before that, it says pray without ceasing in that section anyways in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think praying without ceasing and in everything giving thanks is all God's will for your life. So praying regularly for God's help, specifically for those issues that you're battling, and in this particular, sinful anger. Your aim is to live in a state of awareness of God's sovereign providence in your life. That's our goal. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. That means acknowledge what it is that He says about whatever circumstance you're facing and do that right thing. Philippians 4. Praying with thanksgiving all the time for all things, make your requests known unto God. Colossians 4 verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving. So pray regularly for God's help. That is the number one way to get out in front of your sin. If you have a vibrant prayer life, sin can't be vibrant. Doesn't mean you won't sin on a daily basis, but it won't go unbroken. It won't go unseen. I'm not talking about blind spots that later get revealed, but those issues. Pray regularly for God's help so that you can live in a state of awareness of God's sovereign providence in your life and to be thankful for what you have and what you don't have. Make a pattern on a regular basis of thanking God for those things you have and the things you don't have. Thank you for the house that I have. Thank you for the house that I don't have. Thank you for the cars that I have. Thank you for the cars that I don't have. Thank you for the spouse that I have. Thank you for the spouses that I don't have. Thank you for the children that I have. Thank you for the children that I don't. Just be thankful for the circumstances that God has put you in. That's part of your prayer time there on a regular basis. I try to make it my habit for those things that I'm seeing regularly popping up in my heart and my life, sin-wise, to pray for them daily, at least. Every time they show up, I pray for them then too. Help me, God. Next time this comes up, I'm going to see it. What's the selfishness going on? I'm going to deal with that. And then you can make this a part of your prayer time, or you can make this a separate point, however you want to do that, but pray that God would help you put on gentleness. There's a lot of those. that you could put on. Like in Colossians 3:12, we've gone into detail about this. You can go back and listen to those messages, but I want to highlight gentleness because it's one that just strikes me personally. In verse 12 of Colossians 3, it says, "So as those who have been chosen of God," okay, living in light of the undeserved privilege of your salvation, "holy, set apart unto God, and beloved," that special affection that God has for His people. "So those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." There's so many things in that list. I'm just going to highlight one because it's impacted my heart a lot. Gentleness could be defined as the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of your own self-importance. The quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of your own self-importance. I'm not going to get angry because it doesn't inconvenience me. Because my schedule is not more important than what God has in store for me today. And it's not more important than what my wife needs, or what my children need, or what the church would need. I want to be a gentle man. I don't want to be overly impressed with my own self-importance. Gentleness, because you care too much about yourself and the inconveniences in your life if you're constantly getting angry. And that really is, a lot of times, what it boils down to. We could use the word inconvenient. It simply does not fit with how you wanted things to go. And so we sin. That's just one issue. Sinful anger. One sense, we could get overwhelmed because we could see many of these types of issues, right? But we don't have to be overwhelmed because look at the ammunition we have against this type of sin. We can battle it. And we're not left to our own selves, our own strength. We have the Word of God, which is absolutely clear, and we have the Spirit of God, which is greater than any sin that we might be facing. And the prayer that I prayed on Sunday from Colossians chapter 1 is that we would know God's Word, God's will so well that we have a great understanding and a skill set so that we can battle sin, so that we could live in a manner worthy of our Lord to please Him in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work, and then continue to grow in the knowledge of God. And so that's my prayer for you, that's my prayer for me. That's God's desire from His Word, His will for us. And so battle sinful anger to the glory of God and by the grace of God. Father, thank You so much for Your truth. Thank You for Your grace in our lives. Thank You that even now, perhaps, sin issues have been raised in our hearts. Thank You for the gift of confession and forgiveness. We can deal with it right now and begin a process of living more faithfully for You in that area in our lives. Thank You for Your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.